episode, what's happening? You're not tuning in to Real Thinkers Podcast. I'm your host, KP Trill. Follow me on Twitter at KP_Trill. Follow the show page at Real Thinkers POD. And you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. We upload the show every Sunday. If not Sunday, sometimes Monday. I'm here with two of my co-hosts, Day.
What's up with it, man? Y'all can follow me on Twitter at Just Call Me Day.
Slim.
Yo, it's Slim. Just listen to the show for me.
You don't get IG?
Yeah, but I don't even be on that as much.
That's surprising.
I know, right?
Yeah, Slim. Get yourself a Slim.
I'm growing up, man.
Yeah, that ain't growing up.
No more peak stitches.
I don't be in the
Your
mood
phone
to
must
pictures.
Just have too many pictures in it.
Nope, I don't even take as many pictures anymore.
Just but she didn't got the man, and that's your own.
You gotta take them more bait.
Yeah, I just send special there. Pictures to him now, so I don't need that type of stuff anymore.
All right, June 11th is coming up this weekend. If you all didn't know, the fourth annual No Negative Energy Cookout. And Audubon Park starts at 12 p.m. The address is 4145 Southern Avenue. You'll see a big ass tent out there with tables and chairs, speakers, a whole lot of other stuff, I guess.
Just go to where the black people are.
Yeah.
Yeah, much. Where you see the moon bounce.
Yeah.
The moon bounce might not be out there at 12.
Oh, yeah, they don't be out there at 12. Yeah.
So, yeah.
bring kids.
Yeah, bring yourself out there, man. Have a good time. And keep in mind that it's no negative energy. Yeah.
And
it's going to be warm.
Yeah,
so
it's
going to
be hot.
Supporting.
So, yeah, drink plenty of water. And
yeah.
We're going to have
about plenty of water. Passing out there.
We're going to have plenty of water. And they do have porta potties out there.
Yeah.
So, you don't have to pee in behind a tree.
And then have what do you say when you pee outside? You get a star or something on your eye? Like you get this.
I ain't never heard that.
My grannies always say, if you piss outside, you're going to have a star on your eye. And I was like, so stars really grow on people? I didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
I think that's called like a style. You know, like when you seen people with like little bumps and shit on their eye.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's come from peeing outside?
Nah, they ain't from peeing outside. But,
yeah, I don't know about
that. But them joints was ugly as hell, though.
Yeah, they look disgusted.
That's a new one. I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah, my grannies always say that.
Hey, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say that to somebody. You piss outside, you're going to have chlamydia in the eye. Hey, we lost another great, great legend this weekend,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
The great Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, man.
Man. I had a girls' night Friday. And in the middle of the girls' night, somebody was on her phone. She's like, oh, my God, Muhammad Ali died. Everybody in the room got quiet. It was like, stop talking about all the other stuff. Like,
I heard girls' night and automatically just thought the worst, because you already know girls' night the worst.
No, it's not. It's just fun, good wholesome fun.
Oh, okay.
Male strippers just stopped dancing.
It was no strippers there, but it was good wholesome fun.
That's
a fun party. We had one of them too up in there though.
Oh. Okay. Before we get a little too off subject.
But that killed the room when they found out he was dead. Like, I didn't want to get online to even look at anything. I was like, dang, we just lost Prince. Can we hold on? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
2016 been a motherfucker.
It's
man.
Been a son of a gun so far this year. Like, who the hell? We need to hold on to whoever else we got left.
Like, man.
Tell them to get it together. Hold on.
But man,
that's
like,
sad.
Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. I almost forgot it. Fucked it up.
But yeah, I think the best quote to me was the one when he was talking about why he wasn't going to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Like not going
he
to
went
war.
To jail.
Yeah, he went to jail.
He was okay with it.
Yeah, he was cool. He was like, ain't no Vietnam never called me nigga.
Exactly.
Like, y'all, like, them ain't my enemies. Why would I go fight other brown people when there's white people here?
Yeah,
they treat me like a dog. You know what I'm saying? Like that was the shit. And he wasn't scared. And that was the greatest thing about him was that he wasn't scared to let people know his stance. And like, and he was just like for black people. And he loved his people,
which is crazy because I can't think of.
Yeah, ain't too many athletes.
Athletes
just
like
that.
No, he was. If you ask me, he was probably the only one that because he was so raw with it. He didn't care looking a white person in their face and said, look, white man, you don't know anything about my people. He's sticking up for his people. A lot of athletes, even back then, they kind of filter themselves when they talked to him, when they talked about certain situations, he didn't filter himself.
Yeah, I think just told it like they were like close knit because him, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte, like all of them was like close knit because they were like an elite group. They were like the only black millionaires with like power and status in their respective fields. So like they kept it close together. But now we have so many, like it's more black millionaires now, but we are all like more separated. It's like,
and it's not, like they're all, is everybody's out for themselves.
Yeah, and it's like, there's a few of them, there's a few athletes that are close.
Yeah.
But they not, you know what I'm saying?
They're not close in that way that they're trying to empower the black community in a sense. They're not close in that manner, no.
Okay. Now we have to talk about this transcend bullshit.
Hmm.
All I seen yesterday was how Muhammad Ali transcend for black and whites, and that people didn't see color and all this. And it's like, I'm going to read this. This is a piece of an article from TheRoot.com. When famous African-American celebrities die, you can bet your bottom dollar that if white folks like them, the word transcend is going to pop up somewhere in their obits, like lies in the Donald Trump speech. For white America, transcend is the gold stamp of approval, much more elevated and polite than the old word credit, as in this Negro was a credit to his race, but in some ways used to the same effect. Now, this is some white guy who's verified on Twitter, the screenshot of his tweets, of one of his tweets. When you saw Ali, you didn't see color. You didn't see religion. You saw a gentleman who was a strong fighter, a champion you could believe in. Transcend is kind of like, let me ignore everything else about him and just focus on this one thing so I can speak highly of him. It's kind of like what's being said.
You're like watering down.
Yeah, because we all know that Muhammad Ali was very black and very proud of being black.
Yep.
He changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali.
Because he said Cassius Clay was a white man's name. He was not going to go by that name.
Yeah. And he wanted people to refer to him as Muhammad Ali, which all of his kids, assuming he has multiple kids, I'm not sure about every last name is Ali. Yeah, I didn't want to say that.
He has kids.
But if you pass, right? If Dave Slim, if you all were to pass, would you be upset if you were in the mist, you know, as a ghost and shit, and you hear a white person say that you transcended?
I would, because I'm not a house nigga. Because that's what I'm a transcend to me is the house slave that you kept in the house because they were above the field slave.
Yeah.
Because maybe their skin was a little lighter than them, hair was a little better, they were a lot prettier or something like that. I'm not that person. I'm black. And he was black. And if he was here, if his spirit could talk, he would be going the hell off on y'all white folks. Y'all know damn well Muhammad Ali was not going for that. No, that's disrespectful to me.
Nah.
Because you saw color. He fought. He talked with color. Like, man, please. Get out of here with it.
That man was very black. Now, I'll say this. As far as transcending race, like, Muhammad Ali did not transcend race. Now, Prince, what he did musically, his music was for people of all colors. Like, he was a worldwide star. Now, you could say what he did transcend the race, but even Prince was very black.
Man. Very much so. Afro and all.
So it's like, I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it seem like Muhammad Ali was like Malcolm X, like, oh, he was for all of us. No, he was not for all of us. He was like for black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, he fought for black people and he did not fight for white people.
He refused to go to Vietnam War, right?
Yeah, that's what I said.
He went to jail.
Yeah, he went to jail and did not fight in a war. And, like, that was the thing that was pissing me off, like, when people were saying he, like, dodged the draft and Mm-mm. He, you know what I'm saying, that'll be a stain on his character. And like, I'm like, bruh,
if anything, it built up his character.
Yeah, like, cause the draft age, like, I seen the draft, like, the average draft age was like 18, 19, 20 years old. He was 25 when they were calling him. They knew what they were doing. Like, they were trying to send him to war for a specific reason. Yeah. Like, to try to make an example out of him. He said, hell no.
Nah, I'll make an example out of y'all, cause y'all got me messed up. I'll sit in this damn jail.
Yeah. I don't care. The draft age could be goddamn 36. I'm not going.
Yeah, that's what I said. Bro, I'm never going, like, I'm never fighting in any branch of the military. Like, any people that do, no disrespect to y'all, y'all do y'all thing. I understand y'all do it for the benefits and all that shit. But me, I'm straight. I'm not doing
it. I don't like how this whole, I fought for the country. I fought for your freedom.
Yeah, like they doing us a favor or something.
Yeah, like, no, you didn't, bro. Like, you didn't sign up. With KP Trill in mind, it's not how it happened.
Yeah, you ain't signed up thinking like, oh man, this we gotta fight.
And you
for
ain't
the freedoms.
Fighting for a country that's free. America is a bully. What the hell are you talking about? Exactly. You're not fighting to free America. We're free. You're fighting to make sure that these other countries don't come to where America is, so they can take this shit over. America is, man, get out of here. Fighting for what country? You
It ain't even that they trying to get over here. We always trying to get resources.
We are trying to get resources. We're trying to make sure that they won't grow.
Yeah,
because if some of these other countries were to grow, America be messed up.
That's the huge thing. It's like America wants other small third world countries to be dependent.
That's why we won't
them.
Feed them. That's why we won't give them what they need in order for them to survive. Because if we did, then they would be a threat to this piece of shit ass country.
I like how this conversation evolved.
Yeah, it evolved, and it's cool because like. I was just reading an article about like how Africa makes like $100 billion a year from like and makes 75% of the world's cocoa, but they only get 2% of the fucking of the revenue.
Think about this. If That's Africa, crazy. As big as it is, if they were to get everything they need in order for those children, those adults to grow and be healthy and do what they need to do, America would not be the bully that she is now. Yeah. Because they could take America quickly.
Definitely, like if they and
so
and
we're not going to give them. They're not going to give them what they need. They're going to give them bits and pieces, like little straps. They're going to give them straps, and that's one thing I don't like. We always see these commercials about these kids not eating. They want you to donate money, but America each fucking year throws away I don't know how much food.
Shit, they not even just throwing away food. Like it's people here that go without.
Without, you know and they won't feed them. They won't feed them.
Go without
well,
food.
If you're
go
able bodied, then you should be able to work. A lot of these people cannot work.
They even shit on their own, the people who go to war
and come
disabled.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Shit on
most of the homeless people, and like the majority of homeless
people are veterans. They're veterans.
And what I was going to say is that it's not only America that's getting resources from Africa, it's like French, Britain.
And
like
guess who
all
the allies
European,
are?
Yeah,
guess
all
who
the
America
allied countries
exactly,
are getting getting resources out of Africa. And plus, it's like a lot of puppet and corrupt governments in Africa that are, you know what I'm saying, fucking over the people. Like, it's
too.
A whole, it's a whole fucked up thing how that is. And like,
well, we get fucked over by our
government. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We get fucked over because, like, the money, like, the American budget money is misspent. Like, how much money they spend on the military, like, they cut from. Like education and infrastructure and all this shit, and they put money into military funding and like defenses and all this shit because they got to look out for the terrorists. When has a terrorist attack happened in America? The only two I can remember is 9/11, which was an inside job.
I agree.
Pearl Harbor, which was like in the 50s, but that happened like, and they did this shit to Japan. So.
Well, a lot of terrorist attacks have happened, but they
weren't
but
deemed terrorist attacks.
And 9/11 happened because America needed its people to feel that we are protecting you. We're trying to protect you. Man,
man, shout out to Muhammad Ali, dog.
Because he was not going
for
that.
He stuck it to him, and he stuck to his gun, and he did not go fight for a country that would not fight for him or his people.
And he didn't change. He was the way he was in the beginning was the way he was until he died. He never changed. He was pro-black people. He didn't transcend anything. He was for black people.
Yeah, man, and hope they find a cure for Parkinson's.
Yeah,
because that's what he was battling it for like 30 years.
Yeah,
it was a long time to deal with such an illness, man. It's like man fought to the end.
Yeah,
he didn't give up.
They said his heart was still beating.
Yeah, Man.
They said, even though, like, he was just laying there, his heart was still beating. That's how much of a fighter he is.
He was a fighter. He was a fighter.
All right. So, another question I have to ask. Do you think that Floyd Mayweather will be remembered as a great boxer? No.
Hold on.
As great of a boxer as Muhammad Ali.
Boxer, yeah.
Personally,
no.
I'm not saying that. Okay, as a boxer,
his record speaks for itself. Yeah. Okay. Like, he ain't lost a match.
I just want to know.
Do you know how much he could do if he would just stop being ignorant?
I think he kind of changing his persona a little bit now.
Because he
like
really,
if you've seen him do interviews now, he's a little bit better than he's not as flashy as he once was.
Oh, look at God.
He talks. See, this is what it is now. He outsmarts the people who typically would be raping him of the money that he makes.
Yeah.
But instead, he doesn't need them anymore, right? So he can fund the whole situation of his fights and recoup everything.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't like that. And instead of him just boasting about it, he's just being himself and just saying, hey, you know, look, I got this going and this is a smart thing to do and we're going to move this and do that. And he's a little bit better than what he once was.
Good.
Adrian Broner probably took over his whole little personage.
Really?
And amplified it. But he's not as good of a boxer to do that, though.
No, he's not.
Yeah. I think like with Floyd, man, like as far as boxing, his career go, like it speaks for itself. Like
ain't dude no, is greatness. Yeah, he's greatness.
Like probably the greatest boxer I've seen. Like, dude don't get hit.
He's so damn fat.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, I can't remember a time when like I have not seen with my own two eyes like somebody get like a real clean, clear shot on Floyd. Like,
well, he's never been knocked down, right?
I don't know. Like, maybe early in his career,
maybe.
Maybe.
But
I
definitely can't remember. I don't know. 20,
out of the fights I've seen, I can't remember him hitting the mat. He does have a boxer under him that I think a lot of people need to go check out. He's now 16-0 with 15 knockouts. Javonte Davis.
I heard that name.
He is from Baltimore, Maryland. One of the fights I watched, right? You can go on YouTube and watch the whole fight. They said, Floyd said that this is the closest we'll probably see of a boxer being of me, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe he's just saying that shit because he got his money behind him.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching the fight, and this dude is ducking punches so fucking fast. I may be wrong but from what I seen, he may be faster at dodging punches than Floyd Mayweather.
I've seen a fight.
He's that quick and then he got more strength behind his punches.
He does.
Check out Javonte Davis, most definitely. Dude is great. But back to Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali's passing stirred up some stuff on Twitter. Bryson Tiller tweeted, pray up for Cassius Clay.
Don't.
Now Bryson Tiller is from Louisville, Kentucky, which Muhammad Ali is from Louisville, Kentucky. And a lot of people were saying, okay, look at him trying to be different, and he was wrong. You know, like, dude, that's disrespectful. And all it is. And then you get people asking, well, why are y'all upset about him calling him Cassius Clay? And then you get people answering with factual answers. This is not opinion. Yeah. This is factual answers. This is something that came from the horse's mouth. Muhammad Ali clearly stated that he did not want to be referred to by a white man's name, so he changed his name to Muhammad Ali.
His mama called him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Okay. But,
so, what baffled me was, after being given that information, after people asked the question and then being given that information, people would say, well, it's just my opinion. Okay, first off, if you ask the question, that comes off that you are ignorant to why people are upset. Then people give you a factual answer. And instead of you taking the information, researching it, make sure it's factual for, on your own, whatever, you just want to be right. So this is what kills me on Twitter. Opinions versus facts, right? People use the word opinions because opinions, quote unquote, can't be wrong. But I need somebody to explain to me, when in the fuck did opinions outweigh facts?
Because I can, social media,
I can say I think the sky is green, but in reality, factual is blue.
Yeah, you can think it's cold outside, but shit,
hot as a motherfucker right now.
Out there.
That's an opinion. That if you think it's cold when it's actually hot.
Yeah.
So when the fuck did this shit come into play where you get the Trump card is, but that's just my opinion. Like this,
I don't know. I think people say that when they find it, when they realize they're wrong and they just don't want
to admit to being wrong.
Yeah. And like,
so that's basically like, it's like the deuce spade and spades.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's kind of like playing both hands. It's like kind of like reneging or something. Like, I ain't mean to throw that down.
Oh, yeah. Let me get it back. Let me get it back.
Yeah, let me get this, run it back.
Hold on. Who do that call?
I'm a hard sled, man. Hard sled. But
you can't talk on the table.
Yeah, man. When people say it's just my opinion after being given facts, like, this is pretty much just them, their way of saying, okay, I was wrong, but I just don't want to say I'm wrong. But, like, we can't, when you're giving an opinion, like, when two people are having different opinions on Twitter and they're, like, having, like, dialogue saying why they feel or, like, trying to get people to understand, that's, like, I can understand it.
Yeah.
But, like, when you giving an opinion and trying to
make it seem factual.
Yeah, and trying to make it seem factual, like, or if you just stating your opinion and like disregarding all the facts to the situation or on whatever it is, then it's like, okay, I wouldn't want to go back and forth with you, because at that point
you've been willfully ignorant.
Yeah, like at that point it's like you don't want to understand and you don't want to learn. And like, that's one thing I have a problem with on Twitter, is like when I would try to teach people or tell people something about or something, or like have a discussion about something, like some people will say that maybe it's not my opinion, but like if they actually fucking researched and read it, they would see like the shit that I talk about comes straight from the book or straight from the horse's mouth. Like,
yeah.
I don't really just put my opinion out there. Like, I just put facts out there. Like,
yeah.
Anything that I talk about is gonna be rooted in fact, because I don't want nobody coming to me trying to tell me, like arguing me with facts. Like, bro, why the fuck? Like, go read it for yourself.
But see, that's what I don't like, when people want to argue facts with their opinion. Like, I don't get that. Two plus two is four, right? Yeah. You can feel like 2.2. I mean, 2 plus 2 is 5 or 6, but it's 4. And if I keep telling you 2 plus 2 is 4, and you go use a calculator and it constantly gives you 4, but you want to say that you feel like it's 5 or 6, and that's your opinion, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to talk.
Yeah, or you have the people that 1 plus 3 is 4, and 1 plus 3 is the right way to do it. I'm like, nah, nigga, it ain't no right way. You can get it. You can get four plenty of different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can get 4 million different ways. So like, bro, why the fuck? Like, as long as it equals 4, you know, it's whatever. But man, like, I can't argue with people when they giving their opinion. Like, if that's your opinion, it's cool. Like, I just be like, all right, whatever.
But here's the thing. People always say, when you see somebody's ignorant to something, you should, before chastising them, you should at least offer them the information and bring them up to speed. But in these situations, it makes you not want to do it, because you know, like, it's almost like, well, I tried to do it with another person a different time, and that didn't go well.
Yeah.
So then I did it again with another person, and that didn't go well. So what makes me think that a third time somebody's going to be open to it, taking in the information I'm giving them, and then rolling with that, or at least checking to see if the information I'm giving them is accurate.
I think for social media, when it comes to people being wrong or sticking to it or staying with their opinion instead of facts, is because they don't want the masses to see that they're wrong. A lot of people hate to be wrong, and but the worst thing for them is for someone to see that someone else has called them out on being wrong. So they're going to stick to their guns and say, yeah, whatever, I'm right, you're wrong. And that's the problem with a lot of people. Opinions out here outweigh facts and everything else, because people like to feel that they're right. Nobody likes to feel that they're being wrong. People, you say you want knowledge, but when somebody offers it to you, you're trying to shun it because it's not, you didn't come up with it. A lot of people don't like the information, and I always say this, it's not about the information you're giving, it's about the deliverer of the message. It's the person that's giving the message.
Yeah.
A lot of time they won't take the message because it's the person that's giving the message.
Who is coming from.
Yeah, who is coming from. So that's what happens a lot of time when it comes to opinions versus facts. They're not listening to you because maybe they don't like something about that person that's giving the message. Yeah. So they're not going to listen.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to say. But then the other thing I think is just, it's a pride issue. Yep. Like, people don't like to feel like it's an attack on their pride if somebody says they're wrong. Or that they don't know something. Because I remember, like, when I was in school, when I went to college for, like, 2 years, like, I didn't ask questions in class. And it was, like, the big – because I, like, all through high school, I figured it out on my own, and I was smart enough to, like, pick up concepts and, like, figure things out on my own. But when I got to college, it was, like, much faster speed, and I had to ask questions, but I didn't. Like, I refused to ask questions, and I ended up, like, failing a couple classes just because it was a pride issue. I didn't want to feel like I was dumb. So I think that's sort of the thing on Twitter. Like, people don't want to feel like they're dumb on social media, so they don't ask questions or they say things that they feel is right, and then they say, oh, well, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't feel like they're stupid or they're ignorant. But it's nothing wrong with not knowing. It's something wrong with not knowing and being comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Most definitely agree with that. All right. So something I heard on ESPN radio here in Memphis, the Memphis station, 92.9. They read an article from, and I can't remember his name. Damn, what is his name?
Mike Smith?
Black writer, writes books.
Eric Dyson?
Yes, Michael Eric Dyson wrote a column saying that Steph Curry, black people are afraid to support Steph Curry because the way white people accept him, and that LeBron James would be more accepted if he was light skinned. I'm really like, I feel like that's the dumbest shit in the world. First off, because the NBA is predominantly black.
Player wise, yeah.
Right? And then he says that Steph Curry is more marketable. Okay. Steph Curry was with Nike. He ended up leaving Nike. The reason he's with Under Armour is because Nike felt like he wasn't going to be he wasn't going to be on the same playing field as LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right? So they didn't think he was marketable, you know. But then at the same time, what people don't take in is you can't paint a story for a person that didn't happen.
Yeah.
His father played in the NBA, which I'm pretty sure that he didn't grow up in poverty.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So you can't give that story that LeBron James can't. Yeah. LeBron James moved around for his high school career.
Single parent home.
Yeah. Him and his mother bouncing around going house to house. You can't give the same story. That has nothing to do with LeBron James being dark skinned and Steph being light skinned. I feel like that's a dumb fucking argument to even try to have. And to say that black people are afraid to accept Steph Curry, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Does anybody even read his books?
Yeah, like he's like on certain issues. Yeah, he's a good writer, but in this case, like he don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
He don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Because like really, people support the fuck out of LeBron and Steph. You know what I'm saying? Like, we support great players. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a dude doing his thing, but I would tell you this, I think the thing that we made, like, the underlying thing that nobody's mentioning is that maybe we relate more to LeBron's story, maybe because he came from nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a superstar and we relate to that. Yeah. Whereas Steph, you know, always had two parents. He grew up in a nice household, like grew up in the suburbs and like always, you know what I'm saying, cared for it. Yeah. And like, that's the thing. It kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It's sort of like rappers, you know, we like when people come from the hood, like we relate more to their story. We're more willing to support them or listen to them. But like, if you came from the suburbs and you trying to rap, it's like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
but see, then somebody was trying to argue with me and say, it's the media. They always throwing his family in the picture. Dude's a family man. He's married.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I was like, that's just him. It's not him trying to be anything other than him, right?
Yeah.
Even before the Warriors got as good as they got, you still could see him and his wife doing their thing.
And his mama's always not too far. Like, he's a family
but
man.
But of course, when you're not making the playoffs or making long runs
in
the playoffs, nobody's at, like, Golden State games went on TV like that.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, you're not catching. Let me think of a team. How many fucking Orlando Magic games did you watch this year?
Shit.
Not you, but the people listening. How many Orlando? If you don't have NBA League Pass, how many Magic games did you watch?
Shit. You probably only got like two prime time games, I think.
So I'm saying you wouldn't know shit really about their players.
Yeah.
And then when they get good, of course they'll start. You'll start seeing more commercials of certain players. That's just how shit goes.
Yeah.
So you can't. I don't want anybody to ever feel like, in a predominantly black league, that other players are getting more shine because they are light skinned. Dude has earned his fucking achievements.
Kid is good.
Yeah.
You don't see white people out there taking the ball in his hand and walking it and putting it in the basket. It's not how that fucking goes. Don't belittle this guy's achievements. That's what I'm saying. That's what angers me.
Yeah.
It's like a slap in the face. And then at the same time, you can see why people who grew up in suburban neighborhoods kind of don't feel comfortable, or they feel like they're being pushed away from people who grew up in poverty. And I can see that. I can see both sides.
Yeah.
You get some black people who are jealous and envious of that because they didn't get that opportunity. And I can understand that, right?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you get the suburban kids who feel like, now they don't fuck with me because of what I came from,
and it ain't their fault. You know,
it's not my fault that my parents got the opportunity to do what they did. So I hate that shit. When those type of, like, we got a bigger battle to fight.
Yeah.
Versus you got it better than I did.
So you can't relate to the things. Like,
yeah,
like,
and it's stupid.
Yeah,
it's fucking
stupid.
Dumb. I'm like, LeBron has the right. When he came in the league, he was the first person to have the biggest Nike contract. Not Kobe Bryant. Not anybody else.
LeBron was sitting in high school with a $90 million.
$99 million.
Literally hadn't graduated yet.
$99 million contract, right?
Yep.
So then now he has $1 billion lifetime contract with Nike. Steph don't get that. Steph contract with Under Armour probably ain't as big as Kevin Durant's contract. Kevin Durant comes from a single parent household.
Yeah.
Right? And his story is touching too.
Yeah.
And he's probably just as much as known as anybody in the league. So I don't, and it's a lot of other light skinned players that you don't fucking hear about. Like, they're not being marketed to you because they are more comfortable. The NBA knows who the fuck watches these games.
Yep.
Predominantly black people and Hispanics watch these games. So for you to fucking sit here and say that, oh, Steph is being put in your face because he's light skinned,
like,
that's stupid. Dude is great.
Yeah,
he's fucking great.
Yeah, the man is, like, I ain't saying nobody like
he's
this
from
shit.
Somewhere. I don't know where
and
he's
that's
from.
And that's the thing. That's the thing.
Great.
That's the thing. We won't probably see another player who can play like that, because first off, it's genetics. His father was a good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he been around basketball since he was in the stomach.
Yep. Pretty
much.
Since he came out. He actually had a liking for the game to where he practiced and did all this. So kids don't need to go out and practice shooting 30-foot jumpers. Because you, like, we this probably, like, once in our lifetime thing. We probably won't ever see another player like Steph Curry in our lifetime. And you have to accept it. Mm-hmm. So, not saying that you can't be a better player. You just want to see anybody shooting threes like he
does. Yeah, nah, you won't. But I think, like, I'm cool with Steph being actually marketed because it shows, like, black men in a positive light. Like,
yeah, you getting a black family in nothing but a positive light. Nothing. It's like they're searching for something within this family. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like, I'm cool.
But
with,
it's good. I like it.
That's what I'm saying. When you hear stories of, like, players getting put on child support, like, getting divorced, cheating on their wives, yep. and, like, getting strippers pregnant and all this shit, getting caught up, getting pictures taken of them while they sleep at the side John's house and all this shit. You know, you get all that bad attention, but, like, here we have a man, like, married, two kids, you know what I'm saying, a family man, and great at fucking basketball. Like, that's a great, you know what I'm saying, that's a great image. I don't really get caught up on the light-skinned, dark-skinned shit because either way, they both still black.
Black as hell.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm cool with, like, the way he's getting, like, shine now, like, getting media time and getting all the cameras and, like, because it's showing people in the positive light, and it's showing, you know what I'm saying, maybe some people, like, damn, you know, if he, like, I can aspire to be like them one day, at least, you know what I'm saying, not on that level, but I can have a wife and kids, and, you know what I'm saying, do the right thing.
I like the light that he's getting. I like the spotlight that he's getting. I love the spotlight that his wife is getting. She's kind of bringing it back, like, hey, it's okay to be this supportive woman of your husband and still have a life and raise your kids and all that great stuff.
Yeah,
I
and
like
she has her own thing too. It's not like she's just like a housewife. Like, she don't do anything. Like, she does cooking and, like, wrote a book or something. Like,
but what's,
you know,
funny to me, the people that are getting mad that she's getting a lot of these things because he's getting attention. Isn't that what is supposed to happen? Like, when he's winning, everybody around him supposed to win as well, especially his family. Like, but the guy is great. Don't discredit him because he's light-skinned. Like, don't do that.
Yeah,
that
man,
young
quit sleeping on the light-skinned fellas, man. Please stop sleeping on light-skinned fellas, ladies. I know y'all like dark-skinned dudes. But, you know, I understand y'all want the chocolate, but light-skinned is in right now. As you can see, our brother is winning. And our other brother, Clay, is winning as well. And me. And Drake.
Honestly, look.
Drake winning out here? Yeah,
obviously. I don't care. As long as you out here dating black brothers. Go ahead. It don't matter what shade they get. I'm purple. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't.
I thought you would mean like blue dot.
Nah, like I'm a FedEx. Okay. It depends. Like, in the summertime, I could be FedEx purple. In the wintertime, I'm Dickinson navy blue. And then somewhere in the spring, I'm probably finger over the camera black. So we just go like that. But as long as you dating black men, I'm cool with you. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that I'm against interracial dating. I'm just saying.
I am.
You can't be. Look at you.
I am.
You are interracial. Like, if you get in a relationship, it's an interracial relationship.
Nah, I'm just bullshitting, man. If you love whoever you love, man, go
black
forward.
Or brown.
It don't matter. I'm just saying, man. Look,
oh yeah,
dude,
that's another thing, right? I hate how a lot of black people don't want to be accepting of brown people, and I really think we need to start to close the gap.
Yeah.
Because we both fight the same fight.
Same fight.
They might, and the same applies, right? It's like poverty people looking at suburban people, because I think Hispanics may have it a little different than us, but they still kind of go through the same things as us.
Well, they've gone through the same things, and they've worked their butts off to get to wherever they are. Those people are.
Yeah,
very much so.
Not those people,
and they look out for people.
I think they're smart, and I think a lot of our people, if they would watch them, they could learn a thing or two from them. They
the
help each
thing,
other come up.
Yeah, I was about to say the biggest thing that I see the biggest difference between black people and Mexicans is, like, Mexicans are, like, really close-knit family-wise. Like, they will have the whole family staying in
one
a house,
so everybody
and everybody works, and they all pool their money together, and then they'll, like, you know what I'm saying, they'll go get other shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'll go start buying shit. They'll, like, grow together and then start getting shit apart.
Apart, yep.
And like, with us, we seem like it's every man for himself. Like, we all got to do it ourselves.
Game of pick up and run.
Yeah.
It's like, whoever got it, and, you know what I'm saying, like, we don't go back to help each other and shit like that.
And then a lot of them work to send money home to take care of their families
in
their countries.
Yeah.
And we won't even take care of the people that live down the street.
But we spend foolishly, though.
We do.
You know, because a lot of the money that they send back and put away is money that we spend on things that are unnecessary. And I say we because I'm good for doing it myself.
I literally just had this conversation last night. Like, boyfriend said I want some $200 headphones. For what?
But look, though, at the same time, even if I wanted to put money to the side to give to my family, I'm not for sure that they're going to spend it on the right shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is my thing about that. Once you've done the right thing, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
You're not going to let it go. You're trying to micromanage the money. What you do with that money?
It's the thing. You don't want to just fucking save us money and throw it down the well. Damn,
you've done the right thing. What you put out is going to come back
to you. I don't know about that. What you put out
into the universe, I'm a strong believer in that is what you get back. That's my opinion.
I don't know about that.
So give it to them. If they mess it up, then you've done your
part. If I go see $20 on top of the little gas fuel pump thing, and I just walk away thinking
that's
it's going to come back to me.
We're talking about helping people.
Man, I feel like, man, fuck it, man. I'm not, bro. I need to know.
What you gonna do with the $20?
What you about to do with it? I need to see results.
Yeah, and not Jordans. Okay, not those type of
results. That's like the thing with, like, if we did group economics, like if we did that, we would see results. Like, cause it'll be like,
I understand what you're saying. I'm saying if I was saving money to send it off to a family member and then they on Instagram shining.
That's a different type of thing right there.
Got a new herringbone.
And that's the thing. It's like.
But economics.
Nah, what I was going to say was on that thing is like Mexican people, and if they, when they send the money to these third world, like impoverished countries, there's not much that those people can do. Like, they are so desperate to get out of this situation that, you know what I'm saying, why would they go buy some stupid shit?
Yeah, exactly. They're using their money to come up out of there.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. I would be sending my money to somebody who's probably content with where they are, and they just want to be able to have the newest of the new, just like everybody else. If my rich uncle that I have sent me some money, I might fuck it off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you've said plenty of times on this show that you're gonna do some stupid shit. You already said you were ready. You're gonna do cocaine.
I might fuck it off. Bro, send me like 200,000. I ain't never seen 200,000 at one time.
I don't think I missed the whole 200 off.
I might just have 25 when I'm done. I don't know. Now I ain't gonna say I'm that irresponsible, but you never really know until you get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I hope I wouldn't fuck it off like that.
I hope so too.
I hope I wouldn't.
I know I'd probably make one stupid purchase.
What would that be?
Like a 70 Chevelle or a 72 Chevelle.
That ain't really
not stupid because I want a muscle car. If I ever get the money, I'm getting it.
But
old
school. It's a car, but most people go get them like owners and land or houses. I mean, I feel like that's more important. Like home ownership is a real big deal to me now because I'm seeing it.
What about, and when you're saying group economics, how hard do you think it is to get people to pool money together to go to an actual investment
in some shit. It's tough because the results are not right away, and I think a lot of people want to see like instant results. Like, I'm putting my money in this, I want to see it, but they don't understand that it's like a 5-10 year plan, shit like that.
Well, I'm throwing it out there that's something I want to do, that I want to look into, and if I can get a group of people who want to do it as well, and I ain't looking for, you know, instant oatmeal results.
Yeah, and I'm definitely with that. If we have any listeners who are great in finances or like money management or like investing, like if we have any listeners who are into investing, like we definitely would like to, you know what I'm saying? Because we want to get some things going.
You can shoot an email, DM, don't matter.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hit us up on Twitter. Because it's real important. Like, this is a dude that I listen to. I know you probably heard of him, Claude Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, he's real big on like group economics and like pooling resources together for black people, because we don't own anything. He's talking about like we have to own stuff and like show that we are powerful enough to change results. He's like, that's why we get treated the way we treated, is because we don't own anything. We're so dependent on other people for other stuff.
Yeah.
And like, once we step back and we become self-sufficient and do for self, do for our people, and like grow our own, then we can like flex our muscle on them, and then they won't fuck with us like they do now. You know what I'm saying? So like, as far as group economics goes, he was like real big on like, we got to pool our resources together, start buying up little, you know what I'm saying, getting these Arabs out of the corner stores, you know, because they all Arab owned, get black owned businesses, support black owned businesses, and like just keep our money circulated within our own community instead of getting it, as soon as it gets in our pocket, we give it to somebody else.
Yeah. But yeah, if you are good in finance and investing, please hit us up. We would like to have somebody on the show.
A financial advisor. Come on and give us, like, teach our listeners, like, real investment tips, man. Cause, like,
money management skills.
Yeah, because it's definitely needed. Like, this stuff don't get taught in school. You know what I'm saying? This is, like, this shit
we really want to dedicate a whole episode to
that.
We should definitely do, like, dedicate whole episodes to, like, things that, you know, we need to start doing as far as, like, financing.
Yeah, that's dope. And we'll do that.
Yeah.
All right. June 11th is this Saturday, people. 12 p.m. until Ottoman Park, the 4th annual No Negative Energy Cookout. Free food, free drinks. Gonna have music. Gonna have a moon bounce for the kids. We will have attendant tables for y'all to sit under and all that good shit.
Yeah, so the sun don't kill you.
So all I gotta say is, if you get there and the seats gone because you want to be fashionably late,
if the food gone,
I don't think even no food gonna be gone.
The food shouldn't be gone.
I mean, certain foods might be gone. Like, I mean, you want some chicken and you get there and all the chicken.
If you
want
to bring some sides, bring some sides. But label that you made it. Because if somebody die, last thing I need to hear is, it's KP's fault. Then my cousin ate it and they asked this potato salad. I don't need to hear none of that. I'm cool.
Yeah, I think we probably gonna keep it simple. Like, anything that looks questionable, I ain't gonna eat it.
Label it. I need you to label it.
Yeah, if it's baked beans, I gotta ask you what it is.
Okay. What's this? Baked beans?
Okay.
Slim, she can't hide her pettiness.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. You gonna know. She probably gonna knock the shit off the table. Oh, look at that. Can't even eat it. That is some shit, do. So, yeah. Don't let us discourage y'all from y'all showing y'all cooking skills.
Yeah, let them know what you can do.
Yeah, if you can help out, man, help out. We need all help.
Oh, yeah, man. Shout out to everybody who offered to help behind the scenes, man. Much love to y'all. Yeah. Too many people to name one by one, and I don't want to leave nobody out. But shout out to everybody.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate y'all, man, for real.
Oh, yeah, and I just got to say this. I had been sick the past 2 days. I'm back okay. I got a little cough, but that's it. But I felt like I was going to die Friday night, right? I felt like death was here. I wrote my will out. It wasn't much. It was just 5 things to give away, and I wasn't giving my car to nobody. But but I got to say fuck you to anybody who told me I was acting like a baby or overreacting.
Were you on a timeline?
It wasn't even that. It was people. First off, it's people who were texting who wasn't even coming to check on me to bring me no medicines, no nothing.
Them are people you got to ignore. Go ahead and put them on do not disturb.
I think that people don't understand. When we get sick, we be sick.
Sick.
We be sick. Them motherfuckers not like me.
You know what? Let's say that because we're going to have to dedicate a whole segment to men being sick.
Definitely have to talk about
I'm
that
I'm
going
to have to bring a special guest because I want to hear this.
Yeah. Bring him on. Because that day you ignore his sick ass.
It was terrible.
No, dude was up playing the game. Like he was.
We try to fight. That just shows the strength and resilience. fight through sickness.
Trying to be okay when you're not okay.
Yeah, we try to fight through it, but man,
gotta commend him. That's strength. Because I couldn't do shit. Nigga, I came this motherfucker made a cup of third flu, and I was bent over on the goddamn counter. Lord. Take me, Jesus. I'm ready to see you. And her speaking in tongue. I got right with Jesus Friday night.
Lord, if you please make me feel better, I won't do it no more.
Gave myself back. Shit, ducked myself in the tub. Trying to, what you call this stuff? Baptize myself again. Went, man, broke off some pieces of bread, took communion.
With some feed birds out there and shit.
So, yeah, you know, I got back right with my God Friday night. But shit, as soon as I feel, I said, shit, if I'm still sick Sunday, I'm going to church. I woke up, felt great, wasn't no church for me. I'll catch you next time I'm sick. But yeah, this is Real Thinkers Podcast, man. We out.